topics later. So let me relieve you of the mystery. We were supposed to be on vacation. We weren't 100% sure. We told the organizers that we might be here, we might not. They said, we're going to leave a slot. If you're here, you're here. We really thought we would be away. So at the last minute, we saw that we couldn't. So we didn't have a topic until a few days ago. The topic is, as you see on the sheet, does everybody, every second person have a sheet? I didn't make enough. You have? Okay, it's called The Monarch Meets Malbim. The Monarch referring to David HaMelech. And Malbim, who anybody who's ever studied with me knows that in Nach, he is my favorite mefarej, my favorite commentary. And the educational topic is making Tehillim relevant in high school. I think I'm going to let the challenge speak for itself through the writings of a student of mine. There's a, I think it's the most important part of the class that I teach in Tehillim and Berurah High School. Other people say it's the most annoying part. But whatever it is, it's called the Tehillotenu essay. And every student, towards the end of the year, has to write an essay using one pasuk in Tehillim, which for her, and her, because of her life experience, whatever that is, because of a person she knows, because of an event that she has gone through, this pasuk means something to her that it doesn't mean to anybody else. And sometimes they're very surface and mediocre, and other times they are extremely revelational and meaningful, and not always good, not always rewarding. So this is the problem, all right? Pasuk this girl chose was Amar Naval Belibo Ein Elokim. The degraded one said in his heart, there is no God. And she discusses, she describes. Now, I have to tell you, both of the readings I'm going to do, at the beginning at the end, are from are the writings of girls about whom I never would have known this. Okay? They came from regular, mainstream, from strong, solid homes. And she writes about her crisis of faith, and she doesn't really believe anything, and she's very fed up with the rigor of Judaism and that we miss the forest because of so much concentration on the trees. Sitting in shul this Yom Kippur was particularly trying. What have I done this year that was so tragic that I had to anguish over it, tearing my soul apart? Nothing. That is what Jews do. They create unnecessary problems for themselves, taking small indiscretions and creating nuclear war with God. All of this melodrama is wearisome and something Jews do an awful lot of. Life is not a punishment, it is a gift. Why waste it on the past, which has already happened, while there is so much future, which has yet to be transcribed. Accordingly, in shul, on Yom Kippur, I had little to do, and a huge chunk of time on my hands. I was told that Tehillim was beautiful prose with oodles of meaning, and so I read the entire Sefer cover to cover. It wasn't one of those divine experiences. I mean, it was nice, but just another Sefer that is meaningless to me. The beginning of the year, I asked the girls what makes Tehillim. It's the go-to. Everybody in crisis, it's like an atheist in a foxhole. Everybody in crisis is, which Tehillim should I say, right? But the Tehillim itself does not work so easily on people. It doesn't bring the divine connection that people expect. Some girls say it's because the words are hard, perhaps, although many of the words are not hard. Most girls say it is because it's not relevant. It's the words of the King of Israel, this great guy who's connected to God on a daily basis, who never questions it, and he's talking, and he's half of the book he's praising God, and the other half he's talking about how he feels he's going to die, and then he ends up praising God again, and it just means nothing in their lives. And yet we're supposed to connect to it because this is the go-to source of inspiration for all Jews. So enter Malbim. And that's why I call it the monarch meets Malbim. Okay, the monarch, David HaMelech, is not the person that the girls think he is. He is that person ultimately, but he didn't have a flat line of spirituality his whole life. And Malbim has the guts to tell us that. And when Malbim does it, you know, some of the things that he says, if I said it, I would not be allowed to teach in my school. But when Malbim says it, you can get away with it. Okay, so I want to give you, because we have very, very short time, I just want to go into three examples of how Malbim is able to allow the girls to confront the philosophical questions in a way that they don't feel badly about it, that they don't feel that they are the degraded one because they say there is no God. To know that David HaMelech grappled with the same problems with which they grapple, and sometimes a Jew lives with questions, and that's okay. You can be connected to God even as you live with questions. So I chose prakim, which are familiar to us, so that I don't have to go through a lot of explanation about the background of the prakim. So the first one is Perek Chav Zayin. Many of you have heard different parts of my with David Hashem or Rivi Yeshi. This is not something I do very often, so maybe it will be new. I'm going to look at these three psukim towards the end. Hareini Hashem Darkecha, teach me, God, your ways. Unacheni ba'orach mishor, and lead me on a straight, on an even path. L'ma'an shorarai, because of or for the sake of my enemies. Al titneni b'nefesh tzarai, don't give me over to the will of my enemies. In this case, nefesh means the ratzon, the will. Ki kamu b'yedei sheker v'yifei hamas. Because God knows that there are many false witnesses and violent speakers who have risen against me. Next pasuk. Lulei he'emanti lirot b'tuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. Had I not believed that I would see the goodness of God in the Eretz Chayim, the land of life, either Israel or Olam Haba or Olam Hazeh. You can hardly go wrong. There is a Rishon who says whatever you want. Okay? What's the problem with this pasuk? If I had not believed that I was going to see the goodness of God in the land of life, period. What's the problem? If I hadn't believed I would see the goodness of God in the lands of life, period. Thank you. It's a sentence fragment, no? It's dangling. There's nothing, every if statement has to have a then. Okay, so many of the Rishonim say it's not such a problem. Really, I can walk into a room and I can say, if Shabbos wasn't in 2 days, and you understand what I mean, right? So it could be that David HaMelech is saying, if I hadn't believed in Olam Haba, the enemies would have gotten the better of me. And that's what it's implied, because it's just too unthinkable to say it, so he doesn't finish it. The other possibility is, I can walk into a room and say, if Shabbos wasn't coming in 3 days, I would be finished. Or I can say, I would be finished if Shabbos wasn't coming in 3 days. So some Rishonim say, take the pasuk before, and then you have your complete pasuk, right? Al titneni b'nefesh tzarai, don't give me over to the will of my enemies, because God knows I have enough of those. And they would have gotten the better of me. Kamu b'yedei sheker v'chamas, these enemies would have gotten the better of me. Lulei hemanti l'rot b'tuv Hashem. Had I not believed that I was going to see the goodness of God in the land of life. And we're going to work here with Olam Haba, right? Why break it into two sentences? That's a poetic effect. There's something about how close the enemy was to getting the better of me that I ended the sentence with it. It's almost like it happened. And then the suspense is over and I say, Lulei Hamanti, but it didn't happen because in the last minute, in the 11th hour, you saved me, or my belief, in this case, my belief in Olam Haba saved me. So I want you to see what Malbim does with it. Again, if Malbim didn't do this, I would not have the guts to say this about David HaMelech. Okay? He adopts that approach of inverting the if-then and making it a then-if. Al titneni b'nefesh tzarai, ki halulei ha'emanti lirot b'tuv Hashem be'eretz chayim, have I not believed that I was going to see the good of God in the land of life? Kamu b'yedei sheker b'yifei hamas. These enemies, these violent speakers, and these false witnesses would have gotten the better of me. Uledat chazal, ki vein b'mash she'amar be'eretz chayim al schar ha'olam haba. Eretz chayim means the reward in the world to come. That's what he believed in. Ulida'atam. And if you take their approach, Malbin says, what I think it means is Masha Katav ki kamu b'yedei sheker b'yifei hamas, that the evil, the violent speakers and the false witnesses have risen against me. Hainu, That refers to, that is to say, hadeot hachitzoniot shenaldu belibo, the external foreign philosophies that rose up, that bubbled up inside of David's heart, al yedei shera'at tzadik ovad b'tzidko, shemizei yamdu tanot neged hashtacha. He saw what we all grapple with, tzadik v'ralo. He saw it in his own life. And he said, those violent speakers and those false witnesses within me, which said, David, get up and smell the roses or the coffee. There is nothing out there for you. You believe in something which doesn't exist. He said, they were about to overtake me. I heard it. And there were times that the only thing that quelled it was that I held on to the belief that there was an Olam Haba. There was a world after this where the cheshbon would be fulfilled. So finish the Malbim. Kamoshe Hipayar v'Sefer Iyov. This is one of the things that's dealt with in Sefer Iyov. V'ha'ed ha'me'id al ta'anot eile haya David ba'atzmo. And who could bear better witness to the fact that a tzaddik does not get rewarded in this life for his tzidkus? David, his life himself, anyo umachovav, his suffering and his pains. Rak al yedei ha'amuna ba'olam haba yitba'lu kol ha'ta'anot ha'elam. And the only thing that could nullify those voices inside of him was his belief in olam haba. Hitacha yisurei ha'tzadikim ba'olam hazeh, that in place or in repayment for the suffering of tzadikim in this world, the eretz ha'chayim nishnei yishu la'olam haba. They will be repaid in spades in the world to come. Ubaze batlah edut sheker hazem yisurei hatzadikim lahaid baze neged hashtacha. And this is how David was able to silence those voices inside of him that said there's no hashtacha. Ulam, however, lulei ha'emanti lirot b'tzuv Hashem v'eretz chayim l'olam haba, had I not believed this, hayu kamim bi believi, they would have been successful in my heart, in my soul, in my consciousness, ubimachshavti, and in my intellect, edei sheker v'yafei hamas, l'kfor b'hashgacha ubischar v'onesh. I would have denied divine supervision and reward and punishment. Whether the answer is satisfying to the student, which it probably will not be, is not the issue. The issue is that your good student, your not rebellious student, every student in high school is grappling with these questions, or should be, because if they don't grapple now, they will grapple later and there won't be people there to pick up the pieces. This is part of how we grow up philosophically. The good girls, quote unquote, are afraid to ask these questions. They're afraid to grapple with these things with teachers who they are afraid will lose respect for them. By bringing the issues up and saying, no, someone no less than David HaMelech had to deal with this, he had moments in his life where he almost didn't believe it, it is an extremely empowering experience. Okay, another example. I'm gonna stay within the topic of Hashgacha because I don't know how long I'm gonna be able to go. So I'm going to ask you to turn to the third source. It's on the flip side of your page. If we have time for the second, we'll come back. I don't miss. Okay, we definitely won't have time for that. Okay, Halleluka, okay? It's Rosh Chodesh. In honor of Rosh Chodesh, I picked this one. It also has to do with Hashgacha Pratit, but it's much more nuanced. Okay, I'm going to read it very quickly, and you're going to look up, this is what I do to my students, and tell me in a sentence, if you had to tell somebody what Mizmor 113 is about, what would you say it's about? Hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem. Who should do the praising? Servants of God. Hallelujah, Shem Hashem. Praise the name of God. Yihi Shem Hashem levarach me'atav yad olam. Let the name of God be blessed from now until forever. Mizrach Shemesh ad mevo'o. Two possibilities. From the east to the west, where the sun rises to the west that the sun sets, or from morning till night, from the time when the sun rises till the time when it sets. In all places and at all times, Mehulal Shem Hashem, God's name is praised. Ram al kol gayim Hashem, God is elevated above all nations. Al shamayim kavodo, he has elevated even his glory above the heavens. Mi Kashem Elokeinu, who is like our God, Hamagbihi LaShavis, who sits up high, Hamashpili Lir'os Vashamayim Va'aretz, who looks down low in heaven and earth, Nikimi Me'afar Dal, he raises from the dust the poor, the impoverished, the weakened, Me'ashpot Yerim Evyon, from the garbage heaps, he elevates the pauper, Lo Shivim Nidivim, not only does he make them salaried, but he sits them down, if he wants, with noblemen. In Nidivei Amo, the nobleman who knew him as a pauper, and now he sits with them in a boardroom. Moshivi Akeret Habayit, to the point that he can take an Akara, a barren woman, and sit her down in her house, Em Habanim Smecha, and she becomes the happy mother of children. Hallelujah, praise be God. Look up, what's this about? In one sentence, what is this parak about? Hashem is amazing, right? This parak is boring to students, okay? For most of my life, it was boring to me. It used to remind me of, now I will really date myself. Do you remember a show called Romper Room? Raise your hands if you remember that. Okay, okay. Okay, so Romper Room, they used to have this break for lunch or for snack in the middle, and they did this grace, you know, that was before separation of church and state took over the world. And they had this grace before meals. So it was very generic, right? So God is gracious, God is good, let us thank him for our food. Amen. Amen. Right? Right? I said good doesn't really rhyme with food, but okay. That's the way this sounds. Mehulal, Baruch, okay? Malbim takes this perek and he flips it around in a way that makes it a progression of an idea, a development of an idea, a philosophical thing that people deal with all the time. Students deal with this idea of, even if I believe there's a God, is there hashgacha pratit? Does he care a whit what I do in my life? Right? This is the beginning of Hallel HaMitzri, the Egyptian Hallel, the Hallel that we say after Yetziat Mitzrayim when we saw revealed miracles. And everybody asked, why doesn't it start with Tzei Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim? That's the next parak. Why does it start with this? And different Rishonim and Achronim deal with it in different ways. But I want you to see what Malbim sees in it. I'm going to go through it. I won't have time to read the Malbim, I don't think. So let me show you what he says. Praise God. Who should do the praising? Anybody who's a servant of God should praise God. They should praise the name of God, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, the powerful God. He is, he was, he will be. The Shem Havaya, Charlie Harari calls it, big God as opposed to daddy God. Not the Hashgacha God, the omniscient, the omnipotent God. But you know, Jews, you know what we have to do now that we experienced Yetziat Mitzrayim and we saw how God changed nature on behalf of one people? We have a new job. Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach Me'ata V'ad Olam. God's name should be recognized as the source of the little brachos in life from now on. Because you know why? Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mevo'o. From the east to the west, from the morning to night, Mehulal Shem Hashem, God's name is being praised. He is taking on, according to Malbim, David, like Chana before him. And if we had time, we would see that. Malbim is taking on deists, those who believe there is a God. He is all-powerful, he is all-knowing, but this world is too finite for him, and he checked out and left the constellations to rule this world. From east to west and morning to night, people know God is great. They praise him. They just don't think he has anything to do with their life. And they say, Ram al kol goyim Hashem. God is elevated above people, above nations. He doesn't have anything to do with us. Al hashamayim kavodo. He's above the astrology. He lets the solar system be in charge of us, and he's in charge of them. Says David to the world, to the deists, Mi Kashem Elokeinu, who is like the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, big God, Elokeinu, who is our daddy God, who judges us, who cares about us. Hamagbihi Lashavet. Yeah, he sits up high in a place that I cannot comprehend. I don't know who he is exactly. He is ungraspable in a certain way. But that same big God is Daddy God. Hamashpili li'ot b'shamayim v'aretz. He comes down to heaven and to earth, because from where he is, heaven is also down. And he gets involved in the things that deists, or that the Akum, that the Ovdei Kochavim, that the early pagan religions used to say, the things that are in astrology's hands. Harish, v'ha'osher, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you have children or don't have children, he addresses all those things. He says, no, that's the job of a Jewish people who have seen Nisim Gluyim. Again, this is not the end of a conversation. There are students who will take issue with it. But you open up the conversation of deism because Malden says David grappled with it. He had to deal with it and tell people, I know where you're coming from, but I don't think it's like that. And then even the not rebellious kids will have the guts to say, but I think that's a good approach. It explains a lot of things. It explains why there might be Tzadik Viralo, but how the world came to be. And then you can have a conversation, okay? In your spare time, if you want, you can look at the Malbim I didn't do, Perek Lamed Dalet. That is the source, I think, in David HaMelech for Torah Umada. And I'm just going to close with the following Tehillot Kena. An Hashem ki ani avdecha, ani avdecha ben avdecha, hitavta lemosei rai. I just got this 2 weeks ago. I beseech you, Hashem, for I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosened my bands. Both my mother and father were not born into the slavery of being religious Jews. Each of them, this is a girl from a rabbinic home, each of them found God and his Torah on their own and chose to be servants to their creator. I, on the other hand, was never given that choice and was born into slavery. I often feel as if I am suffocated into a life that was forced down my throat. When I recite these words written by a God-fearing Jew, I plead to Hashem that I too may sing this song one day. I pray that he release my chains and let me love his commandments like David did. I cry to God and say, I feel as if I am a slave to you, a slave that has been born into something unwanted. Please, I beg of you, liberate me from these negative emotions and let me experience the beauty in being your servant. Let me feel as if I chose this for myself. Give me the confidence to believe that if I were given the choice, I would choose to be just as I am. I am your servant. Please free me from what holds me back from loving you. A good girl who is allowed to open up the conversation, and she found words in Tehillim which validated her, which gave her, which she can ask for the guidance to have that conversation. Thank you.